come one, come all. As these sisters show you some people that's grinding and standing tall, highlighting the struggle. As you're waiting patient just to make it, debating your body aching, you're pacing for it to bubble. We all a village, so it's time to huddle. We gotta come together and power us through the hustle. Yeah, and together we fall. So I'ma hold my brother and my sister up while we all on the come up. While we all on the come up. While we all on the come up.
What's up, what's up, what's poppin'?
With my camera, there she go, right there, right
what's
there.
What's up, as you guys know, my name is Michelle.
My name is Janine.
And we're missing someone.
Missing.
Oh. We're missing the one, the only. Quinny from Philly. Philly. Uh-huh. She is going to be performing on the Grammys tonight with the Queen Bee.
Yes.
So look out for her. We love you. Hopefully she's listening. And we might have a surprise call from her. So
hopefully
still stay tuned. She'll jump
keep
on in there.
In.
But again, you are on
The Come Up.
Just feel
dang,
the same.
That feel wild.
Feel the same. It's so different. This is the first time we've ever had an episode without one of us here. I feel lost. I'm confused.
But you know what? We must trek on.
Yes, we must trek on.
It's
because we have an amazing guest today, too.
Yes, we do. Yes, we
but before we get into that.
You have the outline.
I do have the outline. But before we get into that, how was your week, Janine?
It was wonderful. Let's see what happened. My stove stopped working.
Oh.
That's been a hiccup because I can't cook anything. Other than that, the rain has just been a damper on my week for the most part. Also, in the spirit of Valentine's weekend, all the lovers out there, today is my parents' 47th wedding anniversary.
Aww.
Congratulations, Big Ron and Joanne.
Look
oh, shout
oh,
out.
That's their prom picture.
My parents was fly back in the day. My mom wore a pantsuit to prom. Take that.
Wait, so your parents, they grew up in Baltimore as well?
Yeah. Well, my mom's from New York. Uh-huh. My father's from East Baltimore. But yeah, they was flies. 1968. Oh, throwback to the Holcomb girls. Oh,
wow.
Look at me. Out there shining.
Look at you. Look like a little Asian baby.
First off, my mom's eyebrows was pencil thin. And it set the pace for mine. Because my
hilarious.
Eyebrows used to be thin in high school.
Hilarious. Well, congratulations.
Yes, man.
So I wonder what's the key? What's the
We're not gonna get into that.
Shout out to Black
We're
Love.
Not gonna get into that.
Well, my week was cool too. We're winding down with Lethal Weapon. We're finishing up our first season, and this week is our final week with the show. So shout out to all my castmates.
Yes.
It's been an incredible 8 months.
And in the event that you have not caught the show, you can watch it on Hulu. Catch it from episode one.
On demand.
Catch Detective
Hulu.
Bailey over here taking down bad guys one by one.
Pew, pew. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on Fox. Anywho. Mm. It's Valentine's Day weekend.
It is Valentine's Day weekend.
Love is in the air.
Love is in the air. Love for self. That's what's important.
Very much so.
Love that first.
I think
and
if
you can love somebody else.
Absolutely. If you don't have that love for yourself and you're not able to make yourself happy, then having a partner, you're always going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're depending on that person for a sort of like fulfillment. And you should be able to give that to yourself.
Yeah, you're taking in that baggage. You don't want that.
No.
Nobody
that,
wants
that's
that.
Not a good time.
Nobody wants that monkey on your back.
Quinetta, we miss you. All right, get into our guest.
I'm introducing.
Yes.
Our next guest, as if we had somebody previously. The guest we have today is amazing, outstanding. He's from my city. Let's go. He's from my city, out here making a name for himself as a mentor in his community, uplifting Black and brown girls all over the world, Black and brown men all over the world, Black boy joy, Black girl magic. He's an amazing, amazing guy, and I'm glad that he's here, Mr. William Tipper Thomas.
The Woo! Third!
Thanks for having me on the show.
What's up? Oh, okay, sorry, we're having technical difficulties.
Sorry. Right there.
Can everyone be heard?
Can everybody see me? Let me take off my skull.
All right, cool. Tip!
What's up, man?
What do people call you?
Tip.
Tip.
Where's that name from?
It's my pop's nickname originally, actually. He got it from when he played football for Morgan in the 1960s. It was meant as a tease by his teammates because he used to walk and run on his toes.
So like tiptoeing in his Jordans.
And when I was a baby, I used to walk and run on my toes too. So the nickname sort of kind of carried over.
Two. How do you spell two?
T-E-W. Go ahead,
listen, keep it on it. I had to really learn how to perfect that. Like, to not say two. I don't even know if I still can say
Baltimoreans, two. I tell you.
Two.
I can turn it off and I can turn it on, but I choose to turn it off.
Choose. Right now. Our vowels alone. That's the thing.
Y'all vowels are just specific to y'all. I'm having an issue because I'm trying to be cute with my hat. I'm trying to keep the headphones in. Sorry. So Tip, go ahead and tell us about yourself. And then after you tell us about yourself, we want three fun facts. They better be fun.
Okay. About myself, I'm William Tipper Thomas, 30-year-old Baltimore native, graduated from Morgan State University. I graduated with my electrical engineering degree. I work as a system engineer now. And I also have a little bit of a passion for making a difference in my community. My testimony, which we'll hear in a little bit, I go around traveling various states, countries, international now, trying to tell my story to try to make a difference in the world, to essentially prevent what happened to me from happening to other people.
Absolutely. So three fun facts.
Let's see. Q will probably appreciate this. I used to be a dancer.
What?
Like a serious dancer, like in a dance company and everything.
What? Are you
serious?
Yeah, every bit of high school.
Oh, okay. Sorry. It's me. Okay, go ahead. I was like, what is happening? Yeah, you used to be in a dance company.
Yeah. Like, seriously, like, they used to do jazz, tap, ballet, like, all of it, modern, hip-hop, the whole nine.
What? You was out here cutting the rug. Yeah. Dang.
I mean, I come from dancing parents, so, it was sort of kind of a natural gift, and it helped me with my football career, too. That was the real reason I did it. I was heavily inspired by Aaliyah growing up and her choreography, so once I heard that, you know, dancing helps with, you know, body control movement, stuff like that, and I was like, well, if it relates to football, sign me up for
we
it.
Go so
nice.
It was
and a second fun fact, I'm a blue belt in martial arts, Krav Maga.
Krav Maga.
It's a Israeli self-defense tactics. Actually, it's headquartered out here in L.A. I went and took a look at the headquarters facility yesterday when I had some downtime. I've been doing that for about 3 years now. I'm actually the first person with a disability, well, wheelchair bound, to actually get a part of the program. So we've been adopting the curriculum on the fly, on the way, and we're actually in conversation to make it a part of the actual official curriculum.
Nice. Wow.
Other people with disabilities want to come and learn how to defend themselves. So.
That's beautiful. It looks intense. There's a lot of wrestling. My man does it. It's a lot of just tussling.
You got me. Tussling. When it's the real deal, that's what it is. So.
Tussle.
It's a lot. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. Your last fun fact.
Last fun fact.
Maybe something that people wouldn't know.
I don't know. I think I'm pretty much an open book. I guess I'm the third and a junior at the same time. William the third and Tipper Junior at the same time.
Oh, how does that work?
I'm William Thomas. William Joseph Thomas the third. And, you know, my father's nickname is Tipper, and I'm also Tipper, so.
I'm slow.
Homie, so.
My name is William Joseph Thomas the third. My father, my grandfather.
Yeah.
My father's nickname is Tipper from his teammates at Morgan.
See, the more you know.
College educated over here, everybody.
I went to college, I promise.
Both of us mouth open like, all right.
No, that is fun. All right.
I mean.
No.
Okay,
it works, because it had us stumped.
Yeah.
Shoot. I didn't know what was happening.
I was like, wait, huh? I was so lost.
Okay, so usually around this time, we have cognac and chit-chat. Mm-hmm. But as our faithful viewers see, we're three glasses short today.
Yeah.
Because I'm the only one who indulges in a little alcoholic beverages, I've decided not to drink anything.
Well, you know, we're going to make sure we keep the chit-chat.
We're going to keep the chit-chat. So it's just going to be and chit-chat.
Yeah, you know?
I'm with that.
And I mean, and Tip, he doesn't drink either. So we like to honor, I guess, we don't want to force him to do anything he doesn't do in his normal everyday life. So it's okay. I
appreciate that.
You'll be all right.
I'll be okay. This is the first day it hasn't rained in like 14 days.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I came, when I flew in Friday, it was raining.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, and I happen to be listening to 2020. Liars. And they got some explaining to do.
Yeah, they do.
Wait, what you talking about? What?
2020. It never rains in summer. What?
Oh, you got a little notes? Got some notes?
A little bit, you know.
Okay, so you're just a Renaissance black man. Name that movie.
Love Jones.
Okay, so we're gonna get into the chit chat. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
First, are you single?
Depends. Who's asking?
Ooh. I'll take that as a no.
Is Janine asking or is on the come up asking?
I'm gonna take a step back.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. No, for real. Are you single?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Woo! Got hot.
So, how does a woman? How does a woman keep your attention?
How does a woman keep my attention? I could answer the question, but I don't think I will.
Why?
Because
then that lets out the secret.
Exactly.
That's true.
That's like that's like me giving you the cheat codes to the test.
That's true.
Okay. Well. Okay. Well, maybe let's rephrase it then. What qualities do you like in a woman? Like, what grabs your attention at least?
Probably a unique sense of self, knowing who she is and being confident in who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And standing firm in her beliefs and what she's passionate about.
Absolutely.
I'm going to stop there because I can't give out too much.
Don't want to divulge.
No, I've seen in the past where, in my personal situation and situations with other people, where people will hear what someone likes and significant other, and they sort of kind of craft themselves into the image.
Mm.
And then, you know, you're not being your true self anymore. You're being what
you think
that person wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And nah, I want you to be your real, true, authentic self, and then let me like that.
Oh, okay. Well, are you dating?
No.
Okay. Is there a reason?
Yes.
What is the reason?
I'm trying to change the world out here.
Oh, okay.
So you can't change the world with a lovely young lady?
I mean, I hear what I've been told, you know. And it is true. It's quite often true for most people that the right one will, you know, help you and support you through all your what you're trying to accomplish in life. But I don't know. I'm a very, very hard-headed, mission-oriented person. So when it comes to the things that I'm trying to accomplish, like, nothing gets in the way of that. So as, you know, as we all know, you know, good women cost time and energy. Bad women cost money. Neither of which I can afford right now.
Okay.
You know, no matter, you know, you have to show your significant other a certain level of attention. Me personally, how I am and how committed I am to, you know, making life better for other people is, sometimes that call may come at 2:00 in the morning. I have to get up and go tend to one of my mentees or something like that. And you know, after a while, it may get, you know, annoying to some. So, but that's the mission that I've signed up for. So,
well, look, it's still Valentine's Day weekend. All right. So, what's your idea of the perfect Valentine's Day date? Or do you like honor Valentine's Day?
I personally don't care for it, but
Valentine's Day,
because it's like, love your significant other this day only. That's the perception that it comes across.
Okay, look, but here's my thing. So if I had a daughter, mm-hmm. let's say if you had a daughter,
mm-hmm.
your daughter has a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She in high school, middle school, whatever, and she come home.
Probably not gonna happen because that's against the house rules. So go ahead.
But listen, you know that she likes somebody. You know that somebody like her,
mm-hmm.
and she come home. Like, in tears, because all her friends got balloons and teddy bears or flowers, and they ain't getting nothing. And she ain't getting nothing.
Mm-hmm.
As her father, how would you communicate that to her? Like, you would want your daughter to feel uber special.
I'm going to give my daughter something. Of course, she's going to have a Valentine's Day, and of course my wife will, but they will be showered with that stuff 365. It wouldn't just be on Valentine's Day. You know, I'm a person, I get pleasure and joy out of doing things of my own free will. Mm-hmm. I don't like doing things because it's an obligation because of this particular holiday. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, buy me a gift now because it's Christmas. Like, no, I mean, if I see something in the month, say, hey, you know, she might like that. You buy this for sure.
I guess for me, I just kind of feel, what's one more day? If you already do it 365, then what's one more day? You know what I mean? It's a global celebration of love, and it's not even just relationship love, just love on in all levels and all platforms. So I was like, why not? Like, if you love who you love, what's one more day? Right, like, what's another day?
Just an acknowledgement, a card, a petal, or something.
I'm not saying I won't do it. Because, you know, it's the expectation. And then, you know, especially people from the outside looking into your relationship, he ain't do nothing for you for Valentine's Day. It's like, so to just rid of all of that, of course I'm going to, you know, show faith and participate in the holiday. But it's not something that I look forward to every single year.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what would be
going all out on Valentine's Day.
Okay, well, so what would be a date if you were to set one up on either one of these 365, whether it's Valentine's Day, whether it's March 7th? Like, what is, like, how does Tip court his woman?
You ain't trying to take us to the Batcave, huh?
Nah, I mean, it all depends.
I mean, I'm assuming, like, maybe something you've already done before, or...
Nah, nobody's been around long enough that long.
Oopsie daisy. Shots fired. We have a call. Do we have Quinetta calling in?
Do we have a call?
Ooh.
Hello?
Is this Quinetta?
Yes.
It is Quinny from Philly, everyone. What's up?
So far. Listen, I have to jump in. Oh, first of all, what's going on, Tessa?
Hey, kid, what's going on?
Mind you guys, she's at the Grammys right now, backstage, preparing to perform, but she had to come in for Tip. Go ahead.
First of all, it's a pleasure to meet you indirectly. Right. I'm so sad I couldn't be there. Your story is so inspiring. I love it. I had to jump in because y'all was talking about the whole Valentine's Day thing, and I kind of got to go with Tipper with that. Like, I feel
Can we hang up?
I feel like
I got some support. Thank you.
You should do it every day, all day. And I get what you're saying, Michelle, like, with one more day. Cool, but don't put the pressure. I feel like women shouldn't feel pressure, or they shouldn't pressure their men, and vice versa. Men shouldn't pressure their women, like, oh, he better give me something on Valentine's Day. Like, it's another day of love, so if we decide to go out, cool. If not, that's cool, too. But I feel like the world puts so much pressure on it in that sense of, like, buying gifts and all of that, as opposed to staying true to what it is, which is spread and love.
Well, no, I understand it is. It's a holiday that's run by the retail industry.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Right.
But it's just, like... It's just around, like, around the holiday season. You know ain't nothing in the air, but you feel a little extra bit of love and giving and kindness in the air. So you feel more inclined to do that. So on this one day, if you feel that love in the air, I need you to go out and buy me a card or a balloon or a single rose and tell me you love me.
Are you sending a message to somebody right now?
No, I just like to talk with my lips tight.
Like, somebody listening need to pay attention.
Right, hello.
I just had to call in to say, I got to side with Tip on this joint. Like,
all right, well, unfortunately, you're not the 10th caller, so.
This is why I have an appreciation for people from Philly. You know, we get along. We have a connection. You know? Shout out to all my Philly people, too.
Okay. Philly in the house. All right, I'm going to let y'all continue. You guys look beautiful. I'm watching you guys.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
Oh, speaking of which, since you're not here, Q, I can't give you yours, but I do come bearing gifts.
Aww. Look at that.
I like gifts.
Yes, I like gifts. We do like gifts.
Turn the mic.
Wrong way.
Little saying I caught on to from a friend of mine who designed the shirt for me, a friend in Soro, an amazing young lady who keeps me grounded.
That's wonderful.
Something that she pulled up for me.
Shout out to that amazing young lady that keeps him grounded.
Candace Denise. She's a Soro friend. You can check out her designs at Instagram.
Man, this is so decent. We're going to have to all wear this on one of the episodes.
Yes, we're going to have to. Y'all know how I feel about t-shirts.
Yes.
And that's a great one.
She loves t-shirts. We're going to have to make sure we rock this next week.
All right.
Continue the show. I love you guys so much.
Love you.
You're amazing.
Have a great show. We'll be watching.
Thank you. All right, y'all.
Bye.
All right, peace.
Bye.
Gotta love wonderful. It. Wonderful. Gotta love it. So we'll be sure. I mean, it is Black History Month, so I'm all about supporting. Well, we always support Black businesses and Black everything, all things Black. So this is just yet another thing that we can wear next together. Week. So be sure to give us her information so we can make sure we tag it next week when we wear it. Yeah. Okay, so all right, Quinetta. I guess she's siding with. I get both sides, and I try to make it a point in my relationship to not put any pressure on it. And guess what? I got surprised this weekend. So
fun.
See what happens when you let a man do things out of his own free will.
Look, I'm not. You know what? Have a good day.
My logical undeniable.
I'm not saying to put the pressure on the man. I'm just saying, like, I'm open to the surprise and all of that. But it's nice. The gesture is nice. Like, the holiday is there. At least acknowledge it for me. Just a something. Even if it's a small little card, a rose, something. Yeah. Wash the dishes. Take the trash out. Do something you ain't used to doing. Just to be like, you know what? I'm going that extra mile for you today. Thank you.
Wait a minute.
He should be washing dishes, taking trash.
He should be.
That's what I was about to say. But
look.
You know, different strokes for different folks.
Look, all right. I'm not talking about nobody in particular.
Okay, we're not.
Okay.
But that's something that would have mattered to
you. Yes, that is something that would have mattered to me.
Okay. So, yeah, and in my situation, my baby, shout out to Coley Mustafa Speaks, he booked a job and has to be in New York until April, and so in my mind, I'm just like, it's going to be Valentine's Day, so I'm just going to miss it. Like, it's cool. And then he surprised me and just came to the crib and cooked and laid out a whole table setting and had candles. Aww. And, you know, he gave me something I can't open until Tuesday. So, you know, and I didn't expect it.
That's what it's about.
Shout out to that chicken and shrimp pasta Alfredo. It was great. Uh-huh. All right, so our final question. Mm-hmm. Says you really haven't answered any of them. It's like, no, I'm kidding.
Really, okay. Michelle?
Okay, well, now that,
the green pill. Right, now that we have all of that out the way, if you were looking for a nightcap with whatever special young lady, can she be sure that everything still works south of the border? I'm going to sip to that.
Oh, where's that Hennessy?
So I'm
gonna... I know the answer already.
Excuse me?
Because of, you know, anyway, go ahead.
Because of what?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Answer the question.
Man, part of what I do is I do a lot of advocacy work, especially for people who live with disabilities. So from that lens, not my personal lens, people who live with disabilities are very affectionate. They have the ability to have sex. They crave intimacy just like everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's very, very possible and very fulfilling if you are willing to take that leap.
Ooh. All right.
Yes, like him. Great answer.
That was great, politically correct.
I love it. Well, that concludes our chit-chat moment, meaning as though since we didn't have cognac. So we're going to get into actually getting to know this young fella and the reason why he's actually here. So we have a video that we want to play first. Can we cue that up, ladies? We're going to go ahead and play that for our viewers to check out so they have a bit of a background on our incredible guest, William Tipper Thomas III.
A young man robbed of his innocence by gunfire years ago, never took his eyes off his ultimate goal that he all had in his whole life.
That's right. You know, we've watched this young man grow up and get stronger in the face of really unexplainable tragedy. Tonight, Pete O'Neill has the story of Tipper's triumph.
He then passed that gun off to someone who had been sitting in the passenger seat who fired some additional shots.
That was over 7 years ago when Bill Toohey, spokesperson for the Baltimore County Police Department at that time, was giving a statement about the four kids who had just been shot at Randallstown High School after they were leaving a charity basketball game.
I know that there's a God, because if there wasn't, I wouldn't have been able to hold on as long as I did, losing that much blood, laying in a high school parking lot. So the whole time I was praying to him to help me stay strong. And if, I mean, the helicopter came just in time to get me to that, to the hospital, because if it came any late, I wouldn't be laying in this bed right now. I'd be in a pine box.
The four kids who were shot were never the intended targets. They were caught in the crossfire. Three of the kids would totally recover, but one would not. After pushing one of his friends out of the way, a bullet entered William Thomas's neck and injured his spine. And on that day, changed his life forever.
a hell of a lot.
It would take months of intense therapy, but William Thomas, known as Tipper, was determined to graduate with his high school class.
Tipper Thomas is determined, and he is strong, and as the inspiration he is here with us tonight. Please welcome graduating senior William Tipper Thomas.
I've waited 12 long years get this right here. I got another one to get in 4 years.
That's right. You're going to get that one from Morgan, right?
From Morgan State University in electrical engineering.
That's it.
Y'all can look for that one, too.
Can you now see where this story is going? Take a look and see who's sitting up tallest among all the others.
Boils down to having a goal and taking the necessary steps to accomplish it. I drew my motivation from something that actually one of my good teachers right here did for me, Dr. Wheatland. He came and saw me every week when I was in the rehab hospital. So when I was struggling for my motivation to keep pushing forward in life, I would look up and see where I was trying to get, which is Morgan State University, and that kept me pushing in therapy and helped to keep me moving forward.
This is what Roosevelt Lefwich said about Tipper in a report he did years ago.
There is a theory. Time is like a vast roadway with thousands of lanes. By changing lanes, you change the outcome of events in your life and affect the lives of others. William is on a bumpy road right now, but he's determined to get back on the path where he belongs. He's going to get his life back.
I mean, that incident robbed me of prom, senior day, senior farewell. I've been wanting to go to Morgan State ever since I was a little boy, considering I grew up right across the street from there. So, I mean, I'm determined to go, whether I'm in a wheelchair or walking on my own 2 feet, I will be going to Morgan.
So congrats to engineer Tipper Thomas, graduate of Morgan State University. We know this is not the end of your story, just the end of this chapter. Pete O'Neill, ABC 2 News.
Woo! Dang!
Cloudy.
That was great.
Dang. You gonna cry? Janine cries all the time.
I cry every day, faithfully.
Yeah.
I make it a point to cry. All right. So while we were lurking through your social media, I saw a Facebook status you posted last year, June, that said, "I will not lose faith in my city." Mm-hmm. So knowing the severity of gang violence in Baltimore, because it can get a little wild, and you having been a victim of it, how do you maintain faith in Baltimore City?
How do I maintain faith in Baltimore City? Because I know that change can be made. And I see change every single day I work with the kids I work with. I'm so committed to this change that I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning so I can be to work at 5. So I can get off at 2:30, 3 o'clock, so I can get to my mentoring programs and at school programs and deal with my robotics teams. That's when I see the change happening.
Mm-hmm.
I see the change happening when, you know, my partners in community are, know, doing their various events and back to school drives, and I know change happens when I tell my story, when I'm going to colleges and classrooms, and a kid comes up to me and says, "Your story changed my life." You know, that's the change that I see. That's the change that I believe in, and I refuse to allow these kids to believe that nobody cares for them.
Mm-hmm.
I may not know them from Adam, but you know, you're from the same city that I'm from. You come from the same education system I come from, so same struggles. And I always want to and let them know that you can be from a bad situation. You can have something terrible happen to you and still be a good kid afterwards.
Right.
You know, I was, you know, to my definition, a good kid when everything happened to me. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't skip class. I didn't do, you know, I was 3.7 GPA in high school. I worked. I was respectful of my parents. I was, you know, every sense, you know, a good kid. You know, I cared about science and stuff like that. I wasn't, you know, on a corner. I didn't do none of that stuff. So, you know, when my situation happened, you know, it was easy for me to say that, look, you know, what's the point in being a good person anymore? You know, being a good person didn't stop nothing bad from happening to me.
Right.
So I decided that, you know, I was going to still fight to be the best person I can stop possibly being, still be an example to other people who, you know, may go through something or have experienced a trauma, that there is life after trauma. Right. You can still be an excellent human being if you decide to continually make that decision to be, you know, to fight and to be the best example that you can possibly be, you know. And I believe, you know, that change is possible. And whenever you go into a situation, whenever you're faced with a decision or something like that, you always have to go into it with the mindset of hope. Hope that, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you go into the situation thinking that you can't make a difference, you're defeated already. By not trying, you eliminate the possibility of success. So, you know, I understand that I'm facing, you know, years and decades and centuries of, you know, systematic oppression and, you know, political decisions that led to a lot of conditions in Baltimore City. I understand that. I understand I'm fighting something that's way bigger than I am. But, you know, as long as I'm alive, as long as my partners and community are doing their thing, we have hope and change in this city. So, and that's just what it is. Like, nothing's going to convince me otherwise.
That's what's up. That's definitely what's up. How you feel about that as a Baltimorean, just hearing that?
I'm going to be honest. I couldn't wait to get out of Baltimore.
I mean, in a lot of, I know a lot of people who feel that way. And that's, you know, you're right. You know, because I feel like, because of what my story is and the things that we see in the city of Baltimore, you know, I understand if you can't, you know, deal with that mentally. I understand that. I get it. Because once everything happened with the Baltimore uprisings, I had to take a moment just like, and then, you know, sort of kind of regather myself to continue to fight because, you know, dealing with the traumas that we deal with in our city is a lot to handle.
Yeah.
And traumas manifest themselves in different ways, you know, speaking from a trauma survivor's lens. You know, some people act out violently. Some people, you know, fall into depression. Some people turn into addiction. You know, some people choose to change, you know, to prevent the traumas that happen to them from happening to other people. And that was a sense that I took. So some people have to mentally protect their, you know, mentality or their mental state by walking away from, you know, certain situations. And that's perfectly okay because you're protecting yourself. But I've been blessed with the ability to, you know, be able to handle it. So since I've had that ability, you know, it's my responsibility to do it. And that's why, you know, I never, you know, talk down or shun people who decide to leave Baltimore. It's just that I don't, because I know I have the ability to stay and keep fighting for progress.
I just, for me, it was like my heart was never there. And I feel like my views of Baltimore was skewed for me in high school. I went to Forest Park. So just the environment that I was in.
My team with that Forest Park too.
Just the environment that I was in, like, it just wasn't conducive for self-love and confidence in the Black community. And that was the main reason, because I had plans. I wanted to go to, for the most part, a PWI. And being at Forest Park, that was the reason I decided I had to go to an HBCU, because I was like, there is no possible way this is how Black people are educated institutionally. Like, I needed to be in a place where I saw Black people wanting to learn as equally and be as equally passionate about education as I was, and be able to be around each other in a positive light and to see those changes happen. I was not getting that at Forest Park, and I went to Roland Park. So going from Roland Park to Forest Park, I was culture shocked. Like, I grew up, for the most part, in the education system where, for the most part, everybody in my class was of a different culture. So to go from that and then go to Forest Park, even though I grew up in West Baltimore, right by Warbrook Junction, it was a culture shock for me to be around that many Black people. And then seeing that was my initial reaction. Like, is this really how my city is? I need to get out of here. And I need to be in a place where I see Black people in a positive light. And I got that at Hampton University. And it allowed me to come back. And I went to Upward Bound. And I was mentoring with Upward Bound for like 3 summers. And I actually started to see the impact I could make in some of the kids who were going to inner city schools. And I convinced like 2 or 3 kids to go to Hampton. And they graduated, which was great. But it's just, Baltimore can be a lot, man.
It can be. So, as you say, you wanted to be in a place where you saw, you know, black people doing that thing positively. So for me, that was Morgan State. Mm-hmm. Like I said in the video, you said I grew up across the street, like literally right. across the street from Morgan, like mm-hmm. walking distance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my pops went to Morgan, you know, my sister, my several cousins graduated from Morgan. So there was always that, you know, that vision of seeing, you know, black people doing their thing. Mm-hmm. So I didn't, sorry. You know, my experience was, you know, always seeing that. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, you know, different perspectives, you know, I can't yeah. deny yours. So that's just, you know, yeah. how where my, you know, my love
where
for
your
Morgan,
heart is, yeah.
my love for Baltimore comes from.
So what was your life like before the accident? Like, and how have you been able to retain some of, I guess, a sense of, you know, your daily routines from before to after the accident? So what were you doing leading up to that day? Like, were you, I know you mentioned you dance, you do football. Like, what was your life like before the accident?
Life before that was, I was very, very active. But I was also kind of more reserved than I am now. My life was literally, I had a lot going on. So for a typical day for me in high school was, when I lived with my older brother over by Morgan in Northeast, off of Lock Raven, I used to, had to be up at 4:30 in the morning to catch the bus, to catch the 3 bus to Belvedere, catch the 44 to Rogers Station, 44 to Owens Old Court Station, walk from Old Court to my aunt's house, whose address I was using to go to Randallstown, go to school, go to coach class, go to practice, take a shower, then go to Owens Mills to go to work, and get off from Owens Mills like at work at like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and then take that long bus ride
back home.
So most nights I only got like 2.5 hours of sleep. So that was pretty much in high school. I mean, it was I had dealt with a whole lot of other stuff when I moved to Georgia, but you know that was life for me before my injury. So I really didn't have time to get involved in anything other than what I was about.
Yeah.
So I mean, I found the time to dance when I could, but. That was my life was real, real structured because it was all geared towards the mission and the vision I set for myself when I was a very, very young child, you know, to play football at Morgan like my pops did, to return the nickname Tipper back to its origin at Morgan. So literally every single thing I did was geared towards that. Wow. Everything. It was every single thing.
Yeah.
So when my situation happened and I was shot and the doctors told me that my chances of walking were slim to zero, you know, that was devastating to me because, like, when I mean every single decision was geared towards playing football at Morgan, every single decision. You know, am I going to go to this neighborhood or go to that neighborhood? Am I going to skip class? Am I going to go deal with this chick? Or, you know, am I going to smoke? I'm on every single, no, it's not, nope, not doing it. Yeah, okay, all right, that's cool. Nope, not doing it. Tripping. So, you know, when my situation happened, you know, my life was sent it to a whirlwind, and my grandmother linked over to me, and she said that, two things, baby. One, you damn handsome, and whether you walk on the stand, you can still accomplish whatever you want to in life.
Right.
And I just took that and stood on it and never turned back.
Mm. What was that morning like of the accidents? Because the viewers, and all of us, we were able to see the news report. So what was going on? Were you just like outside in front of the school and it just gunshots? Just like what's the backstory? Like what was happening that day?
So the backstory from my point of view is everything started happening on that Monday. The shooting happened on the Friday. So that Monday, I believe is May 3rd, 2004. I was in the lunchroom with some of my teammates and, you know, all of us who had signed letters of intent to play collegiate football. Some of us were going to Maryland, some of us going to Fort Valley State, Prairie View, Salisbury, Millersville. You know, we all sat together. You know, it's our community. It's how we kept each other focused. And we was in the lunchroom, and you know, my running back. You know, usually I didn't say his name before. You know, about last year, and I'll get into why I never said his name and why I say his name later. Why I say his name now later. But Martise went up to, you know, get a bucket of fries from the lunch line, and he bumps into this new guy named Matthew. And Matthew was from Park Heights, you know, West Baltimore. And
you know West Baltimore.
The backstory between them two is, you know, from my understanding is Matthew was hitting on Martise's girl. And, you know, everybody knows when you have a girlfriend, her problems become your problems. So she was in Martisa's ear saying, this dude getting on my nerves, brother, can you say something to me? So when he finally had the opportunity to, he said something. So I said, look, yo, do me a favor, just leave my girl alone. She told me you're giving her problems, you know, just she in my ear. All I cared about was football in the fall, but I can't focus on that with her complaining about you. So just do me a favor, just leave her alone. Mm-hmm. But you know, the longstanding beef in Baltimore, outside of East versus West, is Baltimore City versus Baltimore County. County kids.
Yes.
So, you know, here it is, this kid from Park Heights, West Baltimore, at a school in the county, felt like he let a county kid chomp him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what was the casual conversation that the three of us are having right now turned into this huge spectacle that everyone in the lunchroom is now aware of. Mm-hmm. And the school administrators get involved, school resource officers, school to kind of break them up, escort everybody out of the lunchroom. Tuesday roll around, there's a lot of pushing and shoving between these two. Wednesday roll around, a lot of pushing and shoving between these two. So bad to where Thursday morning they call for a parent-teacher intervention between all parties involved. Mm-hmm. You had Mr. Eric, Martise's father, Martise, Matthew, and Mrs. McCullough, vice principals, school resource officers, trying to mitigate the situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Martise said, look, I told him on Monday, just, you know, leave Shorty alone and everything will be cool. Mm-hmm. But Matt, you know, he was like, nah, I'm not letting it go. Now think about that. Who did I say was in the room?
Yeah.
Matthew, his mother. Like, you have to be a certain special kind of somebody to say something like that in front of your mom's
room. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're a certain, yeah.
You feel me? Like, you going to tell your mother you're not going to let this beef go?
Yeah.
So this administration had no choice but to suspend both parties from school that following Friday for a cool down day, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember I was off that Thursday, and a lot of my teammates who were assigned to play collegiate football, we would meet at the school to continue working out, keep ourselves in straight to stay focused for, you know, summer workouts. And I pulled up in my brother's truck, and I see a lot of us, you know, just standing around not doing nothing. So I walk up, I say, what's going on? We working out or what? And they said, yeah, we are. We're just making sure T straight before we go in the gym because Matt brought some boys up here. I said, brought some boys up here for what? He was like, I don't know, but they over there. So, you know, I was like, man, I ain't got time for this. I'm going to go get T. So I'm walking over, and as I'm approaching, I hear a whole bunch of threats being made. Like, we're going to be strapped. We're going to be clipped. And, you know, we're going to have them things. A whole bunch of tough guy talk, right? And, you know, I don't advocate for violence, but I'm sitting there, like, looking around. No administration. No police officers, no staff. It's just us. You got that much of a problem, somebody. Fight now. Everybody go about their business, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who plans a fight?
Nobody.
So, you know, they was like, nah, we'll be back tomorrow. I was like, yo, T's, come on. I ain't got time for that. Let's roll. We go get our workout. And then, you know, Friday morning, I woke up at my aunt's house, who's, like I said, whose address I was using to go to Roundstown. She let me spend the night that night. And I was waking up, and I was just like, do I want to go to school today? Mm. You know, like, but all of my life, my father always drilled two things into my head. To value my academics just as much as I value my athletics, and to use my gifts and talents to make life better for someone else. Mm-hmm. So literally all of my life for 17 years, you know, academics just as much as athletics. Mm-hmm. And I had my 3.7 GPA, but I remembered I had a quiz in 7th period. And I was like, all right, well, I could afford to miss the quiz. But, you know, I'm a creature of habit, you know, academics. So I go to school and I take my test. They were supposed to have 4 at 1 o'clock in one of the neighborhoods, you know, net close to the school. School bell rang at 2:05 and I go out to the bus loop to catch the cheese bus. You know, we call it the cheese bus in Baltimore. Catch the cheese bus and my bus doesn't come. So my whole route is outside trying to figure out how we're going to get home that day. And at the time, there was a local charity basketball game being hosted by some local politicians versus administration and staff to fundraise money for graduating seniors. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go to the game and see if I can find a ride home. Get to the game. Everyone that has a car either is not going my way or has a full car because I worked. And I was supposed to get my check so I can meet my prom date at the mall so we can start, you know, the long process of, you know, finding her shoes for prom. Mm-hmm.
And the long process.
It's gonna be long. Y'all know how y'all are, especially when it comes to shoes.
Right.
So you know, I had no intentions whatsoever of being there that day. But the game lets out, and so I'm getting on the phone with my father. He's still at work for another 3 hours, and then I got on the phone with my cousin Joshua, who was a sophomore at Morgan in electrical engineering. He was one who inspired me to become an engineer. He was like, yo, I'm just getting out of class in middle rush hour. I can be on my way to get you, but, you know, you got to sit tight for a while.
Right.
So, all right, cool. At this point, I really had no choice. Mm-hmm. So between the end of that phone call and the next time I saw my cousin, you know, everything in my life had changed.
Wow.
After I hung up the phone with him, black on black 745, pulled up to the school. You know, that's not a teacher's car. It's not a student's car. Baltimore City, Baltimore County, that's a drug dealer's car.
Mm-hmm.
And out from the front seat exits Matt. And he walks up to my late homeboy, Danny, and asks, you know, where your man's at? And I'm within earshot of all of this. Even though they my guys, I'm still within, I can hear this, but I'm waiting on my ride over here. And Danny says, well, he looks at his watch and says, yo, it's 3:30. You know, I was supposed to afford at 1. T's been left.
Yeah.
So he goes back to the car and reports what's been said. And by now, school administration takes notice that Matthew's on campus. So they call school resource officers back to campus. Matthew and his boys go across the street because if they had found him on campus, he would have been arrested. Trespassing and he should have been arrested. So they went across the street where it technically wasn't school grounds. They searched his car.
That blows my mind.
Right. They searched his car. They didn't find anything, right? So they told him to go home. School resource officers, you know, leave to, because they was off the clock. The city, the county couldn't afford to pay them overtime to, you know, police the game. So they left. And about 15 minutes later, you know, Matthew and his boys circled back up to the school looking for Tisa again.
Wow.
And we say, yo, where you at? We said, we told you 15 minutes ago. You're not here. Like, what you want? So, you know, they still walking around looking for him. So we get on the phone with Uncle Eric, say, yo, this T is good because, you know, Matt and his boys up here looking for him. So Matt and his boys leave again. Uncle Eric comes to the campus and approaches Matt and his boys and say, look, my son's not here.
Mm.
Go home. There's not going to be any trouble, right? Matthew and his boys leave again. Uncle Eric leaves thinking that everything cool, everything squashed. And maybe another 20 minutes later, they come back up to the school.
Wow.
Right? And, you know, they say something again to Danny. Now, Danny, you know, anybody from Baltimore knows you don't approach a county, up city kid like he from the county.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, those are fighting words. You know, so, I mean, so Danny was from the city like I was from the city. And, you know, he was trying to be calm and cool, but Danny was always a hothead. And Danny just punched Matt in his mouth. And a huge fight breaks out between, you know, Matt and his boys and my teammates. Now, granted, these are my guys, you know, my teammates, my friends, and I bled and sweat on the field with these guys. But, you know, I'm not trying to get involved because
you got bigger things to accomplish.
Right, you're trying to.
No, it's going to be three outcomes of this situation.
Right.
Somebody's going to get arrested, somebody's going to suspend it, somebody's going to get expelled. Right. I'm 3 weeks from graduating high school. You know, a month away from starting my lifelong dream of playing football at Morgan State University like my pops. You know, neither one of those was conducive to any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm running around trying to break it up. And all of a sudden, you know, you hear those words, you know, they got heat.
Mm.
And shots just start shooting, like, everywhere. And, you know, we start running. And I start running towards my left. And, you know, us as football players, we're used to people running towards at full speed and knowing how to keep on trucking. And one of my teammates knocks over this young lady, and she literally falls, like, right at my feet. And, you know, without thinking, I do a drill that we learned in Pop Warner called scoop and score. And I literally picked her up because she was 4'11", 110 pounds right. Soaking wet, and I'm 6'4", 200 pounds in best shape of my life. I literally pick her up and keep running. But as I stopped and turned around to pick her up, I felt a real bad burning sensation in the back of my neck, right?
Yeah.
But in the fight or flight response, you know, your adrenaline's
pumping.
Yeah, your body
don't respond to it.
Right. So, you know, I felt it, but then I was like, my endorphins going, the painkiller, natural body's painkillers, you know, it sort of kind of went away. So I picked up and I kept running. And then when I threw her behind a car, I felt another one hit me in the back of my shoulder. And then when that one hit me, I remember falling to the ground. And I remember feeling everything from here on down just go numb.
Mm.
And I'm laying on the ground. I'm trying to figure out, like, why can't I get up?
Mm.
And now I'm a three-sport athlete, basketball, football, track, used to being able to do whatever I want with my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't move.
Wow.
So I realized shortly after that being on the ground is the safest place to be because shots are still being fired.
Right.
You know, they was letting loose. Mm-hmm. And I hear, you know, a car pull off, and I hear, you know, crying, I hear screaming, and I see my basketball coach standing over top of me, and I see, you know, school secretary Mrs. Holly standing over top of me, Maggie's mother. And yeah. Then I see my cousin, you know, who had just arrived to pick me up, standing over top of me. And the cousin, and the look in my cousin's eye told me everything I need to see. I need to know that I was in bad shape.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this is, you know, my cousin who I competed in everything with, like literally academics, athletics, public speaking. Like, we competed in every single thing. Like, it was more of a sibling rivalry more than anything. And he never cried. I never saw him cry my entire life until that moment.
That moment.
He saw me, you know, laying on the ground, bleeding from the back of my neck. Because it looked like I was shot in the head because I'm right. Laying on the back. You see blood
you
coming
see,
back.
Yeah.
So, you know, they AMTs come. They get to working on me and strap me to the board like you saw in the video and put me in the helicopter, fly me down to the University of Maryland, shock trauma. And a couple hours later, I wake up from surgery. I had a neck brace on. I had tears in my nose, tears in my chest. Like, I was all kinds of. And I just like, where did all this come from? And I started pulling that stuff. And I passed out, and they had to bring me back. And I woke up maybe 2 hours later. My arms are tied to the bed to prevent me from doing the same thing. Saturday rolls around, Sunday rolls around. I found out I'm not the only one that was shot. You know, my quarterback Marcus was shot in his ankle. My point guard was shot in his elbow, and a young freshman was shot in his shoulder. You know, 4 people total shot and injured. I was most seriously injured, but a whole clip of 17 bullets was entered into a.
That's ridiculous.
17 bullets, like.
17 bullets.
Into a crowd of innocent people. Like, we were literally on a
Friday.
They
never got teased. Like, he wasn't there. So. Right.
The person they were looking for, and they knew he wasn't there.
Right.
They just wanted to show. It's just a matter of just them wanting to show their chest off.
Right. You know, because like, I remember it. Like, dude said, look, we ain't come out to the county for nothing. We fighting somebody. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what instigated the whole situation. So, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday roll around, Thursday roll around, and that's when the doctor told me that, you know, my chance of walking was slim to zero. Mm. And I told you what my grandmother said about, you know.
You look good.
Right. You know, you can still accomplish whatever you want to in life. So,
right.
You know, that set me on a path of rehab and set me on a path of, you know, fighting for my life back. Because even though they took my most prized dream away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And playing football, and I'm now paralyzed. That they weren't going to take the rest of my life away from me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. If you were that bold to come after my life intentionally, not just me shot once, one person shot one time, but me shot multiple times. That was intentional, you know what I'm saying? And then multiple people shot. If you were that bold to come after my life, then I'm just as bold to fight back for it.
Did they catch him?
They caught all 4 suspects.
Oh, wow.
I assume were arrested and charged with something.
Yeah, the instigator, Matthew, he got 4 counts of first-degree assault with a handgun, 25 years of pop. This initial
25 years per
count.
Count.
Yeah. The initial shooter, he took a plea deal for 50 years because he knew he was going away. The owner of the gun and the driver of the getaway car, I think he got like 10 years. And the fourth guy, he got a, maybe 5 or 6 years on assault and battery charges. He literally had no idea what he was walking into. They picked him up the street.
Oh, he's probably driving a car or something.
They just hopped
in the car.
He was like, yo, we about to go around trying to fight. So he was like, all right. And he literally hopped in the car. So, so the thing about it is that, you know, 168-something years of jail time was passed down. And when we were in court, Mrs. McCullough, Matthew's mother, stood up in front of the Judge Kavanaugh and asked for leniency for her son because, you know, he didn't have any positive role models, any, you know, he couldn't get involved in any sports teams, or he bounced around from school to school, didn't have any real friends, and X, Y, Z, right? Stuff that she could have been told to say by her defense attorney, stuff that could have been real.
Yeah.
But the fact that she could say that and it'd be some validity to it because of there aren't many black male positive role models in our communities, you know, it struck a nerve with me. And the judge said, you know, ma'am, I hear you, but your son has showed no remorse this entire court proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
and therefore I'm dubbing him as a suburban terrorist, and I'm sentencing him to the maximum sentence.
Oh, wow.
25
per charge.
So, you know, I'm sitting in the back of the court listening to all of this. And, you know, my family, they're upset because we're getting quote-unquote justice, you know. And all I could wrap my head around was he didn't have any positive influences or role models or mentors. Mm. And I'm just like, is that all it took to prevent me and three other people from getting shot?
Right.
And the hundreds of others being terrorized? Think about this, right? You hear about a shooting at your son or your nephew or your cousin's high school. Right. What are you going to do? Pick up the phone, right?
Right.
The whole time you're waiting for your cousin and your family to answer the phone, your friend, you're what? Devastated because you don't know if they're going to answer the phone.
Mm.
You know, that type of mental drama.
Right.
Thousands of people had to go through that. Right. And this is before, you know, everybody really had cell phones like that. Mm-hmm. So you have to be really waiting on word of mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
This is 2004.
Well, nothing happening back then.
No social media, no nothing.
You still had pages.
Right. So imagine, like I said, my mother was living in Georgia. Imagine that phone call my cousin had to make to my aunt.
Yeah.
And that phone call my aunt had to make to my mother in Georgia, yeah. 700 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy.
Yeah.
Tipper's been shot in the head.
That's crazy.
All of that could have been prevented because this young man didn't have a mentor. Sign me up, and I've been a mentor.
Now, do you ever think about the sequence of events, like, had my bus shown up, I wouldn't have been there. Had I decided not to go to the basketball game. Like, all of those, like, little small things that were out of routine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think about that? Like, had that bus been there, or had I decided not to go to school, or just those small decisions?
No, it's easy to think about those, you know, small sequences of events, but as I've grown in my faith and my spirituality, I've learned that, you know, regardless of how painful they are, all of our steps are ordered.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I'm not walking, my steps are still ordered.
Mm-hmm.
So I just realized that, you know, it was all in line for a reason, and I'm blessed to come to the realization of what it was all over.
Yeah.
The fact that this young man didn't have a mentor. And because he had plenty of opportunity to walk away from the situation. He had plenty of time for somebody to say, hey, young brother, it's not that serious.
Right.
He was that determined to see this thing through.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, if you're that determined to see it through, I'm that determined to prevent it. You see what I'm saying?
Because
their physical bodies are locked away in jail 100 years and 50 years consecutively. But the mentality that they had that day is still thriving and living and well out here in the communities.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Those conditions that led to that mentality is still in every single inner city across these United States.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, spiritual warfare is real. So that's the fight that
I've signed up for.
We'll
lighten it up a bit. That was amazing. Thank you for sharing your story. Mm-hmm. We're going to lighten it up a little bit. I'm going to play a quick little game.
All right. So being the proud Baltimorean that I am, I'm from Westside, by the way.
As far as I'm concerned, there's one Baltimore.
Oh.
I know you've been away for a while.
Chumped me, didn't he?
I know you've been away for a while, but you know when the uprisings happened.
No. Look, no, but we
gotta keep it. Let's get into the game.
All right, so we're gonna play a quick game. We're gonna ask you some questions. It's gonna be some multiple choice. You're gonna have to tell us your answer.
Okay. It's called That's So Baltimore. I can't remember the name. I'm excited. Okay.
This popular R&B group was recently celebrated at last year's Soul Train Awards. Was it A. Rough Ends, B. Drew Hill,
B.
C.
You win.
You win that one. Drew Hill, everybody. Fun fact about Drew Hill. It's not called Drew Hill. They're named after a park in Baltimore that's actually called Druid Hill.
Right.
Because of our accent, we don't like to pronounce all the words or all the letters.
Yeah.
So we say Drew Hill. So it's Drew Hill Park.
Right.
All right. Number two. If you're from Baltimore, what do you get on your chicken box? Mumbo sauce, salt, pepper, ketchup, hot sauce, and hot sauce? Hold wait. Salt, pepper, ketchup, hot sauce? Or duck sauce?
B.
B?
Yes.
Salt, pepper, ketchup, hot sauce, please. And a jumbo half and half.
All right. A staple in the community.
It's a staple. You got to get it all on your chicken box. All right. Number three. Growing up in Baltimore, where did you first learn how to drive? A. 85 South. B. 495. C. Safety City.
From my understanding, I didn't learn to drive. I didn't know how to drive in Baltimore. I learned how to drive in Georgia. Uh-huh. But most of my friends, D, Safety City.
Oh, yes. Safety City is where everybody learned how to cross the street. Yep. You learned your stop signs, and you got to drive in little go-karts around a little tiny little park. Mm-hmm. And where? Drew Hill Park. Yep. All right.
Baltimore's the fullest in here.
You know how many kids today don't know Drew Hill is Drew Hill? One of my mentees, like I said, I mentor a lot.
Yeah.
So I have a mentee that actually comes to my job once a month, right? Mm-hmm. And I happen to be listening to, you know, one of their songs. I asked me, Insta Drew album.
Yeah.
He was like, what's that? I said, excuse me?
He said, what's that? Slapped him.
I said, you got to go.
You got to go.
Until you listen to three of their official albums. They got a couple of other ones that, no. But you can't come back unless you know the whole routine to, you know, tell me what you want.
Look at her.
All right. Next question. This jazz singer was born in Baltimore, known for her soulful sounds and influence and sparking the civil rights movement. Is it A, Billie Holiday? B, Ella Fitzgerald? C, Big Mama Thornton?
On, you're supposed to be riding home.
Who was
for
B?
Your city.
Who was B again?
Captain. Ella Fitzgerald.
And who was A? Was
Billie Holiday. C? Big Mama Thornton.
I feel like I should know this.
You should.
You're from Baltimore.
Because I know everybody. Everybody came through Baltimore. Everybody played on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah, they did.
Before they got to go up to.
But who's from there? Born there.
Who's from there?
Go with your instincts.
Give me the options again.
A, Billie Holiday. B, Ella Fitzgerald. C, Big Mama Thornton.
I'm going to go with C.
That is incorrect, sir. It's Billie Holiday. Ooh. Her statue was downtown. They have a statue of Billie Holiday.
Where?
Downtown.
It's
in front of a church. All right.
We're running out of time here, so
we got 10 minutes.
So
Billie Holiday is originally from Baltimore, Maryland, everybody. Philadelphia gets the credit, but she's from Baltimore. Moved to Philly as a child, like late childhood, but then and then went to New York City. Next.
I always known to be from Philly, but I was like,
see? All right, if someone is visiting Baltimore for the first time, what are the top three things they have to do?
Top three things? Well, you talking about for Black America or White America?
Black people.
Yeah.
You gotta get a chicken box.
Gotta get a chicken box.
Gotta get a chicken box and half and half.
That's a numero uno. You gotta get some dirty Chinese food, too.
Yeah, you gotta get some yakimi.
Gotta get some yakimi.
Gotta get that. And you... Crab cakes, I guess.
Oh, yeah, crabs. It's all about food. All right, last question. Why do you think Baltimore is so misunderstood?
Because, and this has been another personal mission of mine, I think Baltimore is so misunderstood because of the perception that's always painted of Baltimore. Every single thing that comes out about Baltimore, whether it's Homicide, Life in the Streets, TV series in the 80s, early 90s, whether it's The Corner, whether it's The Wire, whether
Forgot
it's 12
corner.
O'Clock Boys, whether it's Hard Times, Douglas High, every single, and then the Baltimore Uprising, every single thing that's portrayed about Baltimore in the media across the globe is always negative. Mm. So whenever I go places, and first I say I'm from Baltimore, it's, is it just like The Wire?
All yes, the time.
And no. It never fails. So it's like, look, we are more than what is portrayed of us.
Yeah.
So I literally took upon a mission of myself last summer, actually. I presented a conference called the NCORE Conference, a national conference on race and ethnicity up in San Francisco. Mm. And I literally put together a presentation to show how the media misrepresented community crime during and after the Baltimore uprising.
Mm-hmm.
I put together stuff that wasn't put out there in the news, right? Because people like myself, when everything was happening, you know, they made it seem as if everyone was out there just wilding.
Mm.
But you have, you know, myself and my community, my partners in community who are literally out there trying to keep our kids from getting involved, or, you know, trying to prevent stores from getting burglarized and all, and looted and all that other stuff. But none of that was put on the media. You know, everything, when the city burnt on that Monday night, that next morning, you know, people in the community, people from other surrounding communities, myself included, we went down and started cleaning up what was destroyed the night before.
Wow.
But my, none of that was put on the news.
My issue was with that, I know we run out of time, but my issue with that was they made it seem like the entire city was on fire.
Right, and it was just sand.
And they don't realize that they, like, it was so concentrated to one, not even neighborhood, to a block.
Right.
Or a corner of a block. But the media made it seem like everybody who was out there was wow. acting a fool.
Right. Yeah. And that wasn't the case at all. So that's, you know, part of what I do, you know, when I say I believe in the hope and change mm-hmm. of my city. You know, I'm dedicated to changing what people think about Baltimore. Because we call it Charm City for a reason. We have a lot of hidden gems in Baltimore mm-hmm. that no people don't know about. You know?
So all of that is why you started your foundation or
My foundation came in response to, you know, my personal injury when I was shot. I was fortunate to have very supportive parents. My mother was retired at the time, so she was able to drop everything in Georgia and come up to Baltimore and tend to my care in the hospital. But while I was there, and I had, you know, that's another reason I believe in the hope of our city, because when my situation happened, according to account of my teammates, the lobby was filled. Mm. Like, it was standing room only. And throughout my recovery process, I had people, you know, sending, you know, cards and gift baskets and posters and, you know, wish you well wishes. And my friends were telling me that whole church would, you know, send up prayers on my behalf for, you know, all three services.
Right.
So for me, you know, I took that very, very seriously. So I'm never going to quit on my city because my city never quit on me when mm-hmm. I was going through my situation.
Right.
So, you know, I forgot what the question was.
Well, it was about your foundation. So that's how your foundation.
Right. So because of that support that was given to me, you know, I took notice of the lack of support that other people in the hospital weren't getting.
Mm.
So, you know, I decided that I was going to do my best to fundraise money to sort of kind of offset the financial responsibility that comes with traumatic inpatient care.
Yeah.
Because if you take my situation, if I had a wife and kids and I was in hospital for 8 months, that means I'm going to run out of PTO at work,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm going to run out of sick leave, and, you know, a lot of money is missing from the household. Mm. So, you know, my wife has a decision to make. Either she stays in the hospital and take care of me and let the household fall apart, and who knows what's going to happen with the kids and things get repossessed and stuff like that, or does she go to work and let me fend for myself. Mm-hmm. And my father passed away because, you know, he choked on his vomit, you know, stuff like that, and when he was in the hospital. So we try to prevent, you know, accidental deaths, and we try to prevent people from, you know, losing their possessions because something traumatic
that's
happens.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. How can people contribute to your foundation? Can you give everyone the name social media and where handles. Can they go and they can support?
The website is www.tipperfoundation.org, T-I-P-P-E-R, foundation.org. We do have a donate button on the website. The social media handle is @TIP Foundation because Tipper Foundation was too long. but, you know, I don't really rely on, you know,
the donations
because you know, times is hard for a lot of people. So, you know, what I do is I use my public speaking as a means of fundraising for my organization.
Wow, that's beautiful. And so our last question, I guess we can wrap it up with this one, is you know, what do you want your legacy to be, and what are you hoping to accomplish through your charity work and events, and what advice would you give someone who is a victim of gang violence who's looking to be a positive light in their community? I know it's kind of loaded, but but yeah, what do you want your legacy to be? How do you hope to accomplish everything through your charity work, and what advice would you give to someone who might be in your situation?
What do I want my legacy to be?
Yeah.
I want my legacy to be that, you know, despite everything that I went through in life, God never forsake me.
Mm.
And he gave me a mission and a purpose to pursue for the rest of my life, even though the thing I wanted most was taken away from me. It's like, you ever seen the meme of, you know, Jesus and the little girl, and the little girl has a teddy bear, and Jesus asking her to give it over.
Right.
And he has a bigger teddy bear.
She's like, but I want
bear.
It.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was me. You know, football for me was that little teddy bear. But Jesus had, you know, that big purpose behind his back. And I was fortunate. I'm fortunate enough to, you know, like I said, come to the realization of what everything that happened to me was for. And I want people to know that, you know, despite what happens to you in life, whether you're, you know, able-bodied or disabled, or whether you come from a poor education system or a split household, or you dealt with, you know, depression or could have been addicted to drugs, that you can still pull through if you trust God and, you know, believe in yourself. You know. Yeah. I use myself to serve as a witness to people who aren't as close to God as I am, the things that he can accomplish through you if you pursue a continual love relationship with him that is real and personal. You know, because God will always give you an invitation to work with him, but it requires you to make major life adjustments to get involved in his work. So I want my legacy to be known as, you know, someone who never quit, someone who, you know, took the worst and made the best of it, someone who tried to serve as an example of what you can do if you decide that you want to do it. And to anyone in my situation who may be, you know, trying to deal with...
Yeah, probably their depression.
Their depression.
Just be a light and push through.
When you have something happen to you, there's a sense of, you know, there's a reduced quality of life. You never really enjoy life as you did before. And most people think that because you got a 97 on the test, it's not as good as a 100. But, you know, if you really look at it, an A is an A. You know, if you get 100% of that 90% of your life, you know, live full, you know, 97% is still a good life to live. You know, you can't allow the things that happen to you to control you. You can, they can, you can even be defined by it, but you can't be defeated by it.
Right.
You can be dealing with things in life. You know, I can be dealing with depression. I can be dealing with, you know, addiction or paralysis or pain from injuries that happened to me years ago, but I'm not defeated by it. That's not going to control, you know, how I live the rest of my life. If anything, it's going to, you know, change, you know, it's going to make me fight back. You know, I want to be known as a fighter, one who didn't quit, the one who saw, you know, the uphill battle and still charged forward. You know, I was talking to one of my mentees, and we was playing a game of chess. And, you know, I asked him, you know, what if you could be any piece on the board, what would it be? And I said, don't worry about the king, because that's God. You know, that's taken care of already.
Right.
And he was like, I think I want to be a knight. You know, I want to be, you know, shining. I want to be able to bounce around the board from place to place. And okay, cool. He said, what about you? I said, I would rather be a pawn. He said, why? I said, one, because pawns are usually the first ones to move on the chessboard. They can only move one step at a time, and every step they take, they face some type of adversity. And they have to push through it and make themselves better as they push through it. And I said, out of all the pieces on the board, it's only one piece that has the potential to be more than what they currently are.
Wow.
You know, because a king is always a king. A queen is always going to be a queen. Once they're taken, they're gone.
Right.
But once a pawn reaches the other side of the board, he now has the power of a queen. And the queen is the most influential piece on the board.
Right.
She can move wherever she want to go and do whatever she want to do, take out whoever she want to take out.
Yeah.
But the only person who can get become that is a pawn.
Wow.
Pawns are the ones that make the sacrifices. And they're the ones who, you know, do what it takes to get the job done.
Absolutely.
Well, if you're not inspired after this episode, ladies and gentlemen, please rewatch it again so this way you can pull some inspiration away from it.
Absolutely. And if there's something that you're currently struggling with, I definitely advise you to play this interview back, especially some of the poignant points that he mentioned, because there's always a way to push through. You know what I mean? There's always something better that you can become, and there may be a bigger purpose for yourself in that, which is, I think, is one of the most inspiring things about Tip. So Tip, can you just go ahead before we leave and wrap up, even before that, I just want to say this is what this show is about: highlighting individuals who are impacting their communities, who are taking, you know, themselves or just leading life so selflessly. You know, this is probably one of my favorite interviews in those that are similar, because it's just the inspiration that becomes of it is this is what keeps our world going and changing. And when people are always saying, what can I do to impact change? How can I stop what's happening? I feel so helpless. This is a prime example. You know, in your efforts is how change will happen. So go ahead and drop all your social media and everything one more time for everyone so they can follow you and follow your next speaking engagements and keep up with you.
Yes. On all of my social media, it's at Tipper Thomas, WTIPPERTHOMAS. That's on Periscope. I don't use Periscope that much, but definitely Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and that's where you can find me. But I do want to say one thing before we go. If you don't know anything else on how to make a difference in this world, be a mentor. You know, use your gifts and talents and abilities to make life better for someone else. And you also have to realize that your gifts and talents aren't meant for you, because if they were meant for us, we wouldn't know how to use them.
Right.
We would misuse them. Our gifts and talents are meant for us to bring about the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. You know, and it's our responsibility to use our gifts and talents generously You know, and it should be contingent upon how we feel. Because I'm always in pain. Like, till this very moment right now, I'm in pain.
Oh, wow.
But it's not going to stop me from going out here to prevent that pain from happening to someone else. So, you know, when you have a, being a mentor is step one. And when you're using your gifts and talent, I tell my kids about you, and I tell my kids about Raisha and everybody else that I know that's doing that thing all the time. I say, look, if you don't think that your dreams are possible, you know, every single week I tune at 8 o'clock on Wednesday and see my homegirl living her dream. Yeah. So whenever I'm frustrated and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to make this thing happen, Michelle did it.
Yeah. And sidebar, we go back. So we went to neighboring universities. I went to Towson University. He went to Morgan, as you all know. And I'm a Delta. He's a Sigma. And so our chapters are really, really, really close.
Shout out to Gamma and Mew Mew. Shout out to the home team.
They're pretty much like brother sister chapters. And shout out to all his line brothers and all his LBs. I love y'all. I miss y'all. So that's our connection. And we've always just been inspiring each other, I feel, ever since we've met. So we know the come up is real.
It is.
You see me in that, my worst condition.
Yeah, we're gonna leave that alone.
But again, thank y'all for tuning in to
thank
on
you.
That Come Up. My we'll name is Michelle week. Michener. That is Michelle Michener. That is on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Go ahead and follow me there.
My name is Janine Holcomb. You can follow me on Instagram at @moments_matter. Why? Because they do.
See you next week. Same time, same place.
Bobby! We out.